Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And today we're again joined by Allie, the other part of Skin and Tonic here.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about something that I think is as important as the treatments that we do inside the treatment rooms, but it's the culture of the clinic.
Rough place to work.
That's what I hear.
That's what we hear.
Stressful job, losing my hair.
Bad job, bad bosses.
Bosses are terrible.
So I think culture is like super important in any business, certainly. And I think we wanted to have Allie on this podcast because I know we have our own idea about what we would like the culture to be like. But I think it's important to bring in somebody's perspective and see what the, give a reality check. And Allie knows, like I always say, she's like family. I can get honest feedback from her. We talk openly about the business concepts, business ideas, and she's been part of the Skin and Tonic family now for a while. So I think she'll give kind of her honest feedback. And sometimes what we think we're doing to create a specific type of culture, we're missing. And so it's missing the mark. And so I think it's important that we talk about this, that business owners out there think about the culture they're creating in their practice. And part of it's by the words you say, and part of it's by the actions that you do and that the example you set. So one, it's to really, and we're talking about it from this standpoint, from an employer standpoint, but I think the reason it's so important is not that. It is the culture and the environment that you create that your consumers, so in our case, it's a med spa, so our clients, our patients, they feel when they come in here. And so certainly I think that is the most important in any business, the culture that you create. Yes, if you have a good culture, a good work environment, your employees will not leave, or they aren't going to have as high turnover, but really it's going to be felt most by your consumer.
Yeah, I think culture certainly has a lot to do with employees, employee satisfaction, but I think in my thoughts, and I say this, I've said it on two or three of the other episodes of the podcast, but it's really about customer experience, patient experience. And I always think about the Atlanta airport bathrooms, and this is what I've said before, but this has a smiley face, a face with no expression, and a sad face. And you like push one of those buttons as you leave the restroom to talk about your experience and how was the bathroom. And I really would hope that every person that left hit a smiley face when they walked out of the door at Skin and Tonic. And if one person a week hit something other than that button, then we missed it. To me, the entire culture of what we do inside guides that patient's experience.
Allie's like,
I don't know what to add to that. I agree. I hope everyone's happy when they leave Skin and Tonic. I'm happy being here. Like, but I think that shows like, patients know if you're not happy or if you're having a bad day. I think that's one of the hardest parts of like working in this industry is like you can't really have a bad day.
So we have had that. And I think that people listen to the podcast and listen to us because they know that we're sharing real experiences. We're being as transparent and honest as we can. And so we have had recent challenges in the culture here at Skin and Tonic. And I think it was felt by the employees and by our patients. So Allie, I know that, you know, certainly you always come in with a smile and try your best to work with anybody that we bring in here. And there were certainly some challenging times for you in some of the recent changes we had. Talk about how you think that impacted the patients and what you were hearing, because these would be people that would see you at a later time, but they had been impacted by other steps in the process. Mm-hmm. And it certainly changed your interaction with them.
Yeah, I think patients can feel stress, and it's not hard to, you know, we're all very environmentally aware of if somebody in the front office is stressed or if it looks like there's chaos in the back, right? And I think I always try to come in with, you know, the mindset like, well, I'm not working in an ER, thank God. I'm not working in an IC, thank God. Nobody's dying. Everybody should be happy. Everybody should be calm. And we want this to be a relaxing, treatments aren't always relaxing. You know, sometimes it's just needles and it's not a fun facial, but it should be a relaxing experience overall here and not one that's surrounded by stress. And I think sometimes even a little bit of stress at front of house can certainly almost make the patients feel like I'm in a hurry when I'm not in a hurry. And so then they could be in the back of their minds worried that maybe I'm treating them too quickly. And I certainly don't want that to ever be the case. My main focus and only focus when you're sitting in my chair is my patient. And I don't ever want them to feel like they're rushed here. Like, I feel like we do a really good job at making appointment times maybe a little longer than probably necessary, but it's because we like to talk to our patients and get to know our patients and never want them to feel like they're a number to us because they're not. And I think it almost gave off like a numerical vibe because it seemed like there was chaos when there wasn't chaos. And then they get back to my chair and they're like, whew, almost like they had run a marathon and they hadn't even done anything, you know, yet.
So it is kind of, and I think that's where it's important that that culture is set from the leadership, the business owners, and it kind of trickles down because certainly everything you just said is the culture that Jerry and I want to create. We want it to be calm, relaxed, as happy as it can be. One of the things that we find like a lot of pleasure in or joy in is seeing patients over a long period of time and knowing their stories. And so, yeah, from a business coaching standpoint, you guys know when I look at those and look at the metrics, I'm always like, we were off on this number, we're off on that number. And one of the ways we can always change those numbers is shorten the experience, shorten the time. And there are ways that you can do that and still make the patient feel valued and not rush. But in general, we do opt for longer times. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at our schedule, it will not be exactly the same as some of the clinics who are seeing a higher volume, partly because we want to maintain that experience. And every time we talk about it, you know, we go back to that. So I think it's not just something we tell you guys, but or say don't seem rushed or don't act this way, but we demonstrate that we care about that by saying we're not changing appointment times. We're making sure that we're allowing adequate times and a little bit more so you can have that personal connection. Jerry, what have you noticed over the years as we brought people on the team? Because obviously, as we've grown, we get people to represent us.
Well, as we bring people in, like, you're going to end up with a lot of different personalities. And I think it's a good thing. But I think the part of it for me that is so difficult is there is a control part of me that wants everybody to treat the patients exactly the way that I do. And I think that just goes back to the way that you and I started this, because we never had a lobby that had five or six patients sitting there. It was always a one-on-one. We got the patient, we checked the patient in, we took the patient back, we checked the patient out. We would call after a patient had Botox. We may call them two or three times before the week was out just to check on them, because we were new at it, one. Two, we cared about it. Patient may be afraid or nervous, and we could do anything on our end to offset, and probably partially from Chris having to take call. You know, if you took patients in before the night, you don't get calls at night. And so I think about that. And so what I encourage now is to get our patients all tucked in. And if we don't do it in the back, then for Rachel or the girls up front to kind of tuck them in and like, we're here if you need us. And so, as far as bringing different people in, I think that's probably been the hardest thing. But I think we've been really, really lucky that I don't know if it's our, and we've missed, God knows we've missed on a couple, but for the most part, we've had people that maybe it's because they followed the lead, because Sierra, Allie, Julie, now we have Rachel, and I think it's kind of the same experience from the front to the back is what I hope. One of my favorite things, and y'all have also heard me talk about this, but Unreasonable Hospitality in Will Gadara is a restaurateur in New York, and not a chef, but he wanted to be the best restaurant in New York and ended up making top 50 and got to the award ceremony, and he was number 50. And he couldn't believe he was number 50. He's like, how can I be number one? I'm top 50, but how can I be number one? And so it went back to customer service versus hospitality. And I think hospitality is huge, but a lot of times we think about it being the same thing. And so customer service is getting them in, getting them checked in, you know, getting them to the back, being sure they're having a nice experience, get their Botox and get out. But the hospitality is, how do you make them feel from the time they walk in until the time they walk out? And so that hospitality, and I think that's where Skin and Tonic kind of sets ourselves apart. And if we're not, then in my opinion, we miss the mark. That's, to me, something that's really important. I'm not going to say as important as the treatments that they receive, but we had, I kind of pick on this patient because she listens to the podcast every week, but we had a patient recently that had a bad experience. It was a phone call. She called. It was a hustle bustle time. The attention wasn't given to her exactly the way that it needed to be. And it didn't piss her off. It didn't make her mad. That would have been fine because she'll get over being mad fast, but it hurt her feelings. And when she told me, she didn't tell me, because at the beginning of a phone call at Skin and Tonic, you're told this call may be recorded for quality assurance. And the quality assurance means Chris listens to them, like, for fun. And so when that patient, the transcript came across and I read it, that she said, that really hurt my feelings. I felt like somebody kicked me in my gut, that this patient that has paid us money and been a friend for 15 years, I guess, maybe now, and we had hurt her feelings and she was coming to our business. I literally felt like somebody had kicked me in my stomach. And that's the type thing that I wish everybody would feel that if they failed at their job. Did I answer your question?
I don't know. You talked so long, I forgot what the question was.
I forgot the question as well.
We all kind of dozed off.
I guess y'all did.
I was listening.
I was sleeping with my eyes open.
Always. He can't close his eyes because that talks I did in his last line.
No, I really was listening. And I think that is the culture that we try to create. We try to set the example for, and that is how we feel. I mean, there's been very few patients, even ones that we find challenging, that we still don't have some sort of, I don't want to say guilt, but some sort of sense of an obligation to care for them, because we want them still to feel welcome, even when we know, like, oh, that was a challenging situation, or we don't really enjoy that because of X, Y, or Z reasons. And like I said, I think you got to be really aware of it. So it's easy in the beginning, because it's, if you're a solo provider, if it's your business, it's just a reflection of you. But then as more and more people come in, you've got to be very intentional with the way that you bring those people on board, the way that you train them. And so they understand that. Because, you know, even when I look at some of our missteps along the way, I'll take some responsibility for that, because I think it's the way that we brought them on board, the way that we trained them, the way that, like, I was not present enough or didn't put enough systems in place. Because we've kind of, there's been parts of this that's grown organically. We add things as we move along. And so in general, I think people want to do a good job. And so some of these failures that we've seen have been where the employee would try to put us first. They wanted to make sure that we felt really taken care of as providers. So their priority was doing everything to make our day go smoothly. But in the process of that, it was creating what appeared to be chaos to the patients. And whereas we were saying, it doesn't really matter how chaotic our day is, the patients are our focus. Let's shift that back. Because if you talk to any of the three of us here on this panel, we'll tell you the patients come first. There have been hectic days where we have been behind, people have added on procedures, they brought a friend with them, whatever the case may be, and we're appreciative of that business and we want them to be fully taken care of. But in our minds, we're giving them a good experience and we're having to manage our time with whoever's coming behind them. We would never want them to know that at all. We may talk about ourselves and how we can better handle that, but they would never know it. With some of these culture fits where we don't do a good job of, like, really, like, articulating that and explaining it to people who come on board to represent us, you can see where that can be an easy misalignment, because, you know, people want to keep their bosses happy. So it's like, well, if they're signing my paycheck, I better keep them happy. So I need to do X, Y, or Z. But that running around trying to constantly be a step ahead of us or guess what we're doing, it really was overall missing the mark, because it was missing our core culture here that says we want to put patients first. And so I think that part of this can be the way that you bring people on, the way that you train them, the way that you continually reinforce that culture. So it's not just by example, but by what things you're putting in place to make sure they can easily follow it. Other things really that I think can kind of lead to maybe some distrust amongst patients or consumers is when they hear like gossip or talking, they pick up on that. We all are really good at picking up when somebody's having a bad day, right? If I'm at the airline check-in counter and I detect that that person is having a bad day, immediately I will feel it. And then I also get confrontational back with them. And so it sets up this misalignment. So I think as much as we can to try to resolve those underlying issues and not let that linger, being aware of who's around when you're having conversations, right? Because there's certainly conversations that we've had. We had one recently where there was someone in the waiting room and I was talking about credit card processing fees. And I was talking about that to staff because if you look, there's certain fees that we can't waive. It doesn't matter what we want to do discount-wise, the company we use puts a fee on it. And so people are in our membership program and getting membership rewards. That's processed through a third-party vendor that takes a percent out of that. And so that's very different than things we do if somebody says, hey, I don't want to be in that. I don't care about my rewards. And so we have a little bit more ability. It's the same price. We're basically giving people the same price. Our members always get the best price. So we have a members pricing. And so people who pay us to be a member in our program and pay us and get things done monthly, they get the best prices on their lasers, their injectables, all of that. But outside of that, how they pay for it, whether it's through a credit card or cash, those things are pretty controlled. But I can see where that could easily be misunderstood, because I was having a conversation that the patient could have overheard, but they wouldn't have understood all the background about the five different ways we can take payments here and how each of them have a different fee associated with them and what we can and can't waive. So if somebody just heard that, it would seem like, oh, you're making preferential pricing for this person, when in fact they were using a system that I couldn't waive certain fees on. And so there's all those sorts of things about just situational awareness, being around it, that those can impact your culture. So if there's lots of those sorts of conversations going on between or amongst staff with people in treatment areas, patients are going to detect, is there something there that's either stressful, tense? Are they having financial hardships that they're having to worry about? It's all those things. So you got to be aware of every little detail in your business. Literally starting with the way that they interact with you and your website and your social media before they ever show up at your front door. That's a representation that sets a tone for the culture before they walk into your practice. Any final thoughts on?
No, I'd love for patients to send us some things that they feel like we could improve on, or some things that they like, or even if they're not.
We always ask for feedback. And I think people are a little bit hesitant to give it because they think it will hurt our feelings. And in fact, we truly want it because we want to improve.
Yeah. I would love for feedback on that. Like, we try to do little things that, like, one patient had said that she wanted mints that she didn't like mouthwash because it irritates. We have mouthwash in like every restroom, so patients can like.
A lot of them don't want to be in our face with injectables and have bad breath. They're conscious about that. So we try to put something there for them to mitigate
that. And she had said that mouthwash irritated her. This is just recently and I haven't done it yet, but I will. That mouthwash irritated her mouth, and all of our candies have sugar in it, and she was diabetic and she wanted sugar-free mints. I was like, so like little things like that, like it really is important. And I really did pay attention. I really will do that, even though I haven't. So, but like, we appreciate anything.
So Allie, what do you think about culture here? What do you think that we could do that you can do proactively as we bring people on so they understand our culture?
Maybe we should make like a, you know, like when you get a job at the hospital and you have like an onboarding process. And you go to like a
like hospital orientation.
Orientation day. Maybe we do orientation days where we have a little presentation, maybe even have like some mock patients and or real patients that we can, you know, walk them through and see the full process and how it looks like when it's 100% right, just so they can kind of get an idea and know that like it's okay to show your personality as long as we like your personality. But like Like, it's okay to show your personality, because I think our patients like that and it resonates with them. But it also needs to be done in a way that makes sense for this type of business. Like, it needs to be calm, it needs to be relaxed, it needs to be happy and just like all smooth, you know? Like,
some of that I think goes back to hiring and
I agree, yeah.
Right. And maybe we try our best, but people can really fake their way through an interview. Right. And so sometimes you do miss. So you can do a lot of things to try to screen out, look for credentials, qualifications, and try to hire the right fit. But occasionally you're going to get a miss. And so I do think part of that goes when someone is not fitting within your culture in a short period of time, go ahead and make that decision early to separate them from your team, because it will impact the culture of everybody around. So I think identifying that early on, because you do everything obviously you can to hire appropriately. And I think the main thing that I want to say is that I think a lot of people think of a culture of a practice as an afterthought. It is a reflection of what the owners, but really it shouldn't be. It should be more of a strategy. You should be able to articulate what your culture is. You should be able to have that instilled in people from a really early time so that it can be replicated. And so whether it's through official orientation, onboarding processes, whether it's through SOP, so some kind of standardized process that we say, hey, you know, we have these videos and you know, we talked about this and I'm actually working with Danny maybe at some point and recording direct messages from me and Jerry that when you get hired, this is going to be, you got a half a day of this. So whether we're here or not, it's like you hear directly out of our mouth, here's what we expect from a culture standpoint. So having an intentional strategy to move forward with, I think is really important in creating a culture that you want for your practice.
I agree.
All right. Thanks everyone for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you again next week.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.